Well, I guess it's not just me that's hot.
That was a joke. Thanks, Doug. I was kind of secretly hoping that would happen so that I could give you my corny joke. All right, well, good morning, Grace Fellowship. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. All right, so you guys ever been concerned about the future and what's going to happen later on in life? Maybe you're concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. Certainly, COVID-related concerns. How about the elections that we're about to have? Whatever side you find yourself on, there's a lot of tension related to the elections. How about eschatology, studies of end times? I know, folks, that makes them super nervous, a little anxious to talk about the end times, because there's a lot of stuff in the Word that, you know, there's going to be some hard times and some difficult situations that folks are going to have to go through. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 2 this morning. If you've got your Word with you, you can turn there. Daniel chapter 2. I'm not going to be able to touch every part of that passage, so I'd encourage you, if you haven't already, to read that in its entirety. There's lots of good stuff in there. But the reason I talk about even end times, aside from Revelation, Daniel probably has the most to say regarding times to come and prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. And there's a lot of difficult passages within Daniel that can be confusing, can be difficult to understand. And so as an eldership, we're going to do the best we can to try to work that out and make that a little easier to understand. Daniel 1, we see Daniel and his friends and other individuals from Israel. They've been taken captive to the nation of Babylon. And now they're being trained to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's court. And you'll see that the first five chapters of Daniel talks about the nation of Babylon. And then the further chapters will go into other nations that then conquer Babylon, but still have control of the nation of Israel. They still have rule over the nation of Israel. One thing I want you to be looking for is as we're going through these passages, look for the word mystery in Daniel 2, specifically Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 4, verse 6, mystery and reveal, only used in chapter 2, and it's used 6 times, the word reveal. We serve the God of heaven, that's a name that God has given in this chapter, and there's a major emphasis on the fact that he reveals himself. He reveals himself to his people, and by extension, he reveals himself to the world because of the faithfulness of his people. Like through his relationship with his people, he then reveals himself to the world. He reveals himself to the people in our lives. And brothers and sisters, that's still God's plan today. That we should know God and know him so well and have a desire to make him known. To know God and to make him known. As we were singing this morning, I just want to highlight the work of the Holy Spirit. We were singing about the Lord Most High. And it's a declaration not only of the fact that God is sovereign now and that he's in control of all things, but it also looks ahead for a time when we see full evidence of this. There's no longer pain and suffering in the world. There's no longer sin. There's no longer destruction, anything, any form of distraction in the world. We're looking forward to a time when God is clearly in control and that everyone on earth can see that. And then we sang the song, Build My Life, and I wrote down part of the chorus here, and it really jumped out to me. There is none like you, no one beside you. Open my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are. Show me who you are. And that really complements what I believe is the call for this morning. I believe the Lord's call for us this morning, Grace Fellowship, is to know and make known the God of heaven. To know and make known the God of heaven. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to abbreviate chapter 2 for you. So this is the Judea Amplified Version. And I'm going to sprinkle in there some actual quotations of the scripture, and I'll do my best to highlight that for you. So Nebuchadnezzar has this really troubling dream, and he can't sleep. It robs him of sleep all night. And the king calls his magicians and his enchanters and his sorcerers and his fortune tellers and all of these so-called wise men. Note that their wisdom comes from men, and their wisdom, even more sinisterly, comes from the evil one, but none of them are able to give interpretation of the dream. But more than that, he doesn't just ask for interpretation. The king says, I want you to tell me what my dream was. In verse 5, the Chaldeans are objecting. They're saying, how could we possibly know what your dream is? My word is firm, the king says. If you do not make known my dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your house shall be laid to ruins. Okay, so they're shaking in their boots right now. If they wore boots, I'm not sure about that one. But they pleaded with the king, please tell us what the dream is, and then we'll give him interpretation. Verse 9, if you do not make the dream known to me, I've already told you the sentence. He's concerned that they're going to lie, so he wants them to tell him his dream so that he knows he can trust the interpretation. Verse 10, they answered to him and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great powerful king has ever asked such a thing as this of magicians, enchanters, or Chaldeans. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Or other translations say, whose dwelling is in heaven. So I want you to notice something. Okay, these wise men of the king's court, they're saying, the only one that could tell you your dream is one of the gods, lowercase g, and they live in heaven. So their only understanding of God is a far-off deity that is only remotely interested in mankind. Not somebody that draws near, certainly not somebody that reveals himself to his people, not the God that we know. Amen? The king was very angry and ordered that all the wise men, including Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to be killed. He wanted them all dead. So the captain of the guard goes to kill Daniel and his friends, and Daniel says, wait a second, what's got the king so upset? So he fills them in, and he asks permission to go talk to the king, and he says to the king, can you appoint a time for me that I could then reveal to you your dream and its interpretation? Imagine the boldness that Daniel had. He said, let me go and prepare, but he's trusting the Lord. He's trusting that the Lord will show up in his time of great need. So he goes to his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven. Notice that he uses the same title as the wise men. He calls them the God of heaven, concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel, after making his prayer request for God's mercy, goes to sleep. He wakes in the night and praises God for giving him what he has desperately requested. Verse 19 through 23. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in the vision of the night. In a vision of the night. Whether that was a dream or it means that he woke up and had a vision. But the answer to his prayer came in the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said. Now, as I read these words, if it helps you to let it sink in, then I encourage you to close your eyes. But listen to this beautiful description of who God is. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets them up. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and you have now made known to me what I asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. To put this another way, God, you showed up in a mighty way when I desperately needed you and I had nowhere else to go. So I want you to think about something. What is the difficult situation that you're in? Maybe it's concerns related to COVID. Maybe it's concerns related to the election. Maybe it's something else I haven't mentioned. But in faith, Daniel went to the God that he knew. He knew God. He knew his character. He knew his history. Daniel read the scriptures. He was quite familiar with Joseph and a similar account. We'll get to that in a minute. But he knew God. And that's why in faith, he asked the Lord to show up in a mighty way and give mercy. So my encouragement for you this morning, at least one of them is, it doesn't matter what situation you're going through or how big it seems. Lean on who you know God to be and ask him for great things. And my challenge to the individual who would say, that's not the God I know, or I don't know him that way. He wants to be known that way. If you find yourself lacking in that regard, if you find yourself saying, I can't pray like that because that's not the God I know, ask him to reveal himself to you in a deeper and more powerful way. In the morning, Daniel goes to the king, the king's captain of the guard, the man who was supposed to kill him, and he asked to speak to the king. The king then asked Daniel if he could tell him the dream. Remember, that's the king's test. He wants his dream revealed so that he knows he can trust the interpretation. Verses 26 through 30, Daniel answered to the king and said, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or astrologer can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. Okay, so first of all, he's saying this. The wisdom I'm about to give you didn't come from man. Nobody could have come up with this. He's agreeing with the other wise men when they said, you ask an unreasonable request. There's no way we could know this. So just a little side note. If anybody within the sound of my voice has ever indulged in fortune telling or tarot cards or anything like that, Ouija boards, whatever the case may be, at best, it's human wisdom. At worst, you're messing with the evil one. That's not the true God. That's not where we want to get our wisdom from. We want to seek the God of heaven. So he says, verse 28, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days. I'm going to skip to verse 30. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have. This is Daniel talking. He says that I have more than all living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. Daniel immediately gives credit to God. I want you to make note of that. When we ask God to show up in a mighty way, or even if we haven't asked for it, when you see that he shows up, our first response needs to be a declaration of praise and giving him glory and credit for where he shows up. Daniel then tells the king a detailed account of his dream, thus passing the king's test. Then he gives the interpretation of the dream, verse 47. The king answered and said to Daniel, truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. Hold on a second. So we can see there that near the end of the chapter, even Nebuchadnezzar gets to know a little bit more about who the God of heaven is, and even he gives God credit for what he has done. All right, so here's four things that I want us to grab out of the passage today. Actually, before I do that, let me remind you of the call is know God and make him known. So we know God, know the God of heaven, and let me say that over again. Because we know God, we can ask and expect for great things. Because we know God, we can seek him in confident humility. And because we know God, we can give him praise and credit he is due. And because we know God, we can make him known to those in our lives. Remember, I was talking about Joseph. If you're taking notes, write down Genesis chapter 40. Again, I'd encourage you to read that. There's so many similarities between the story of Joseph with regard to him interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. I'm going to highlight a couple of those similarities. Joseph gives God credit for revealing and making known the meaning of the dream. Now, I found that interesting. That was the terminology in Genesis 40. Revealing and making known. Does that sound familiar? Pharaoh declares that Joseph has the spirit of God and promotes him. Daniel too was promoted, by the way. Daniel, when he was faced with imminent doom, he was told, by order of King Nebuchadnezzar, I have to kill you. In that moment, who knows how long that moment was, but I could see him looking back to the story of Joseph, understanding the scriptures, finding confidence in that. He says, if God showed up for Joseph, God can show up for me. And so he said, give me time and I will bring the interpretation. Okay, brothers and sisters, if God showed up for Daniel and God showed up for Joseph, he can show up for you too. Whatever the situation that you find yourself in, today or in the future. In fact, in the New Testament, we are told not to concern yourself about what you should say when you have to face authorities with regard to your faith. Because in that time, God will give you what you need. He will reveal to you what you need and how to answer. We serve the same God. The same Holy Spirit indwells the believer. We have access to the same wisdom, not our wisdom, but the wisdom given to us by God through our relationship with him. We too can expect great things. I'm going to share a story with you, and I have shared it before, but I think it powerfully applies to this situation. Years ago, when we were doing LIDAR City at Prospect Park. I think I pushed myself a little too hard trying to organize that event. A fact that I don't regret because God showed up in a mighty way. But I ended up with an issue where I was bleeding quite a bit and it was life-threatening. I got rushed to the hospital. I'm in the hospital room with the nurses. And their face tells me what I'm already aware of, that this is very serious. In fact, their face tells me, we don't know if this guy's going to be alive tomorrow. And there was a particular nurse that I was talking to, and she was just sharing how she grew up in church, but she hasn't had much to do with church for years and years. And I asked her what she wanted. You know, what do you want from God? And she said, I want peace. And you know, I was able to share with her that I know the Prince of Peace. That's a name of God. And she said, and she just wasn't sure if she wanted to believe what I was sharing with her. And there was this boldness that through the Holy Spirit filled me. And in faith, I made a declaration. And it wasn't until I started preparing for this sermon that I realized it's similar to what Daniel went through when he declared, "The Lord will give me what I need. The Lord will give me interpretation." This is what the Lord pressed on my heart. I told her, "I'm here because the Lord wants me to talk to you. And to prove it, now that we've talked, the bleeding will stop." And she didn't believe me, and I said, "That's fine." She went home, her shift was over. She came back the next day, looked at my chart, and true enough, the bleeding had completely stopped without any indication as to why. You can imagine the astonishment. But here's my point, brothers and sisters. It's not because I was wise. It's not because I was great and powerful, or that I'm some sort of super Christian. I'm not, and that's not what I'm implying. What I'm trying to show you is that like Joseph, like Daniel, I too have access to the same God that because I know him, I can ask for and expect great things, and that he will show up when we need him to. Does this mean that we'll always avoid suffering or that he'll always preserve our life? No, it doesn't. But what it does mean is that he will be with us no matter what we go through. And this affirms the fact that he wants us to live a life that makes him known. So in the way that we know God, the God of heaven, not only does it cause us to want to expect and ask for great things, but we do it, we seek him in confident humility. What do I mean by that? Humility, I'm not cocky, I'm not arrogant about it. I don't go to God assuming he's going to give me what I want, but I go confident that he's going to give me what I need. Do you see the difference? I'm not telling God how to do what he needs to do, but I know God will show up. Daniel went in and requested that the king appoint a time that he could interpret the dream. And then he went to his companions and asked them to pray. With humility, all four of them prayed to God. Daniel knows who God is and what he can do, but he also knows that he is just a man and approaches God with reverence. In Philippians chapter 2, if you're taking notes, you could start back in verse 5, but I'm gonna start here in verse 8. He humbled himself, this is Jesus, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's two things I want to point out here. Number one, the way we approach God should mirror the mind of Christ. In fact, this passage tells us that through relationship with Jesus, we have the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. So we approach God with humility and in obedience. If Jesus can approach the Father in obedience, then we ought to do the same thing as well. But then the second thing I want you to grab from this, and it kind of applies to the fourth point, this dream and the effect that it has on Nebuchadnezzar and his court, it's the work of the Messiah. It's the work of Jesus in the Old Testament. Later in the dream, he talks about a rock that destroys the statue. A spoiler. That rock is Jesus. So God was busy orchestrating the power and the effect and the reach of his kingdom, even in the midst of that court, in the process of making him known. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive what? Anybody know? Mercy, and find grace in our time of need. Mercy was the same thing that Daniel encouraged his friends to pray. Pray that we might receive mercy. We can boldly, through our relationship with Jesus, that we know the King of Heaven, we can boldly go with confidence, but with reverence, to the Creator of the universe and present our request to him. All right, so we approach God with confidence and humility. Now, number three, because of the fact that we know the God of Heaven, we can give him praise and credit that is due his name. In verse 19, we read this: then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision in the night. God reveals his mystery to those upon the earth who seek him with humility. Revelation to the nations becomes intertwined with revelation to Israel. In fact, they are one and the same. In this case, echoing the goal of God that is to bless the nations through the descendants of Abraham. So let me put this another way. God chose the nation of Israel to be his special people. But the purpose of that special people was to showcase for the world who he is. This has always been God's plan, for him to show off who he is through the people who know him. So as we are blessed, so also are the people around us, because they get a glimpse of who God is. As he revealed himself within this passage, those around Daniel were blessed to get to know the God of Heaven a little bit better. Remember what Daniel said as he woke from his night vision, or in the night. Blessed is the name of our God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes seasons and times. Another way of putting it is he sets affairs in order. He removes kings and sets them up. This election, while important, does not need to dominate our thoughts. We do not need to be anxious over the election. Your vote matters, and I encourage you to go out and vote your conscience. But ultimately, it is God who places men in authority, and that includes the President of the United States. But he declares praise too when God shows up. Every time we even this morning, as we prayed and as we praised God, we're giving God credit for who he is and what he has done. One thing I want to highlight here, notice verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days. Verse 28 is an answer to verse 11. Verse 11 was, the thing that the king has asked is difficult. No one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Or another translation says, because the gods are in heaven. We serve the only God, the only real God, but the only expression of God who actually desires to be in relationship with his people and to make himself known to his people. Emmanuel, God with us. There's a fuller expression of that when Jesus comes in physical form. But even in the Old Testament, God is with his people in a powerful way. Amen? So we thank the Lord, we praise him for showing up. Number four, knowing the God of heaven you will make him known to those in your life. So the result of knowing God and being in an ever-growing pursuit to know God better results in others getting to know God, the other people around you. There's an element of this, it just kind of happens kind of automatically. I can't think of the word. Maybe you're even unaware of it. You're just going about your business. But then there's also the intentionality. You're looking for opportunities to share your faith. So to one degree, as we know the Lord more, it just kind of permeates our existence and people see it. But secondly, to be intentional to share your faith. So there's a call there to look for opportunities to make the Lord known. So Daniel interprets the king's dream. So in the interpretation, verse 31, you saw, O king, and behold, a great image, the image mighty and exceedingly bright, of exceedingly brightness, stood before you, and in its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was on fire, the gold, its chest and its arms silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And you looked, a stone was cut out of the mountain's hand, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Another translation described it as dust. It broke it into dust. Okay, so this picture, this statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, this is a picture that Daniel tells him the head is the nation of Babylon, and each subsequent part of the statue, that made of bronze, that made of silver and gold and iron mixed with clay, each one of these represent a subsequent nation that would come after the nation of Babylon, but each one of them having rule over Israel. I don't want you to get hung up on what those nations are, but some have said that the head being Babylon, then you've got Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then a revived Rome. Chapter 7 in Daniel also talks about these five nations. There's another dream, and this time those nations are revealed in the form of hideous beasts. Here we see the statue. You kind of get the impression that it's through man's perspective. They see the nations as a good thing, a beautiful thing. In chapter 7, we're going to look at it from God's perspective. That's all I'm going to say about chapter 7. Verse 34. As you looked, a stone was cut by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet and the clay and broke them into pieces. All right. This is a picture of the ultimate empire. That stone is a picture of an empire that will come after all of them that is by far greater than any of them. Anybody know what that kingdom is? It's the kingdom of God. To what degree that kingdom has come, as to whether or not all of the statue is destroyed yet, or that's still a process that's happening, there's some debate to that. You know, we say God is sovereign and he is in control of the world, and that is an absolutely true statement. But when we see evil and pain and suffering in the world, we're forced to then ask the question, okay, God, it doesn't look like you're in control all the time. And what we have going on here is what we call now and not yet. There's an aspect of God does reign and he is in control of every part of creation. And to some degree, this has already happened. The kingdom of God is here on earth. The kingdom of God indwells believers, those who know the living God. But there's a not yet aspect. We still deal with the presence and the effect of sin in our lives. We deal with the sin in other people's lives. There's sickness, death, and decay. So there's an aspect of this where we are waiting We are waiting to see the full picture of this prophecy to come true. But I just want to highlight for you again, when we see that rock in this vision, I think the Lord wants us to kind of think about that from our perspective, having the New Testament, and say, huh, who else is called the rock? That's a picture of Jesus. In the second half of verse 38, he starts talking about the interpretation of the dream. And he describes various elements of the statue, but specifically, in some length, he describes the iron and the clay that are mixed together. And you can't actually mix those two substances together. In the dream, they were together, but the point was they can't stay together. So they're actually going to fall apart. So, give me just a second. So anyway, the point I was trying to make here is that each one of those substances, the iron, the clay mixed with iron, the gold, the silver, representing various nations. But the big picture that God wants us to get out of this vision is not specifically what are the nations and what are they doing. The big picture is this. Jesus is the rock. And the rock comes crashing through and tears down all of those nations. Every nation on earth, doesn't matter how good or evil that nation is, every nation on earth will have an end. It will not last forever, with one exception, and that is the nation or the kingdom of God. That is the only kingdom that has no end. That's where we pick up in verse 44. And in these days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw the stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, a great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. So after hearing this, the king gets really excited. And I have to admit, personally, part of me kind of scratches my head. He's excited to know the meaning of his dream, and that would excite me. But if he thinks about the implication here, it means your kingdom's not going to last forever. In fact, all these four kingdoms, and then the ultimate kingdom's going to come after it. So I'm not sure why he got excited about that, but that was just a head-scratcher for me. But this is, again, what the king answered. He said to Daniel, "Truly your God is the God of gods, lowercase g, and Lord of kings, and revealer of mysteries. You have been able to reveal this mystery. We too, because we know the same God, can make him known to those in our lives." Just like Daniel made God known through revealing that dream, through faithfulness, through trust in the Lord, that God would show up, he made God known. You too, as a believer, not only can, but that's why you're here on the earth. You are to make God known. We are called to know God more and more each day, to seek him with all of our hearts, so that we can make him known. want to just remind you guys of these 4 points in conclusion. Know and make known the God of heaven. When we know the God of heaven, we ask for and expect great things. When we know God, the God of heaven, we seek him and with confidence and humility. And when we know the God of heaven, we will give him praise and credit he is due. When we know the God of heaven, we will make him known to those in our lives. Let me ask you a question. Are you worried about the coronavirus? And let me just say, there are folks, especially with compromised immune systems, that have reason to be concerned. But is it dominating your thoughts? Are you worried about the election? Or do you, like Daniel, because you know the God who created you, the God who loves you, the God of heaven, do you confidently ask him to show up in your life, giving you what you need? Even not just the big stuff. Even give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need for today. Where do your loyalties lie? Are they with a donkey or an elephant? Or is it with a lion and the lamb? Let's pray. Gracious, powerful, mighty, wise God, maker of heaven and earth, the one who knows and loves his people, you desire to be known. You desire to make yourself known. Lord, I pray. I pray, Lord, that my words wouldn't get in the way today, but that what needs to be accomplished would be accomplished. That you would help it to take root and to hold fast. Lord, I lift up to you those who are hurting and struggling. Lord, for those among us that are sick, Lord, we pray for health. We pray for safety. We pray for provision. Lord, we pray for your mercy upon this church. We pray for your mercy upon this nation. And again, Lord, we pray your protection and blessing upon our president and the first lady. We pray your blessing upon this state and upon the various cities that are represented here by this fellowship. And specifically, Lord, I pray and ask for your mercy to show up in profound and mighty ways in the lives of your people. Lord, make yourself known more profoundly today. Reveal yourself to your people. Lord, we want to know your mysteries, your plans for us. Lord, we're excited to be a part of it. And we thank you for it. And lastly, Lord, I pray, if there be anybody here today or anybody within the sound of my voice who doesn't know you the way that you've been described here today, Lord, my most fervent prayer that I've prayed today is that you would make yourself known to those who have not yet believed. Do what only you can do, Lord. Break that stony heart. Replace it with a heart of flesh. Give them the ability to cry out to you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, just a reminder that we do not have Sunday school today. But if your circle church is planning on meeting, there's various spots out here on the field that you could meet, or just be in contact with your circle church leader. Thank you so much, and may the Lord bless you.
Okay, let's go.
If you want to stand up and raise your hands to the Lord, we'll pray a benediction here. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord reveal himself to you. May the Lord open your eyes to see his face, that you could understand mysteries and wisdom, that you could know the God who reveals all things, and walk in shalom. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.